So today I want to talk about a Kedushat Levi. Kedushat Levi is the Berditchever, or Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, I think his name, from Berditchev. So I saw an amazing var, an amazing piece that I want to share with everyone. So we know there's a machloket regarding the Hanukkah lights. Is a person allowed to derive direct benefit from the lights? Meaning, after you light Hanukkah, maybe you want to read a book, or you want to try to, do your homework or whatever, next to the lights, enjoy the lights and use them as your lights, instead of turning on the lights in the room, or are you not allowed, are you not supposed to? So we say the halakha, we say that the proper thing is not to derive direct benefit. And of course, you could look at the lights, and you could have hana, you could enjoy the fact that it's nice to have a Hanukkah lit in the house. You're not supposed to actually derive direct benefit from the light itself. So the Kedushat Levi brings down a very interesting mashal, an interesting parable, to try to explain to us why we follow the halakha this way. So he says this. He says there's a Melech Adir, a powerful king, came to visit a certain town. And, he went around the town to visit different people. And he decided he's going to go visit a certain pauper, a very, very poor person that lived in the corner of the city, that lived in a little dilapidated shack, far from everyone else. He says, I want to go visit this pauper. So the pauper was very excited. He was excited. He saw the king coming, and he greeted him with warmth, and he greeted him into his house. So he said there's two approaches that the pauper could have had. The first approach is a simple pauper that doesn't really know much. And he says, wow, it's unbelievable. I have the merit to see all the richness of the king come to my house, all the wealth. I see a beautiful limousine, and I see beautiful garments and a beautiful garb that he's wearing, and it's so royal, it's so amazing. And he derives benefit from that itself. From the richness and the wealth and almost like the power that comes to him, he feels that's the specialness of the visit. But he brings down there's a different ani. There's an ani which is a little bit maybe a little smarter, sees things a little bit of a bigger picture, and says, nah, that king, one suit that he's wearing, he has a million suits. His limousine, he has a million limousines. The wealth that I get to enjoy, obviously it's wealth that I'm a pauper, I don't have anything like this, but the wealth that I actually get to see is just a little speck of everything that he has. This king has palaces and he has kingdoms and he has so much more. So what makes him enjoy the king? What makes him feel gratitude towards the king? He says, the fact that the king thought of me, the simple pauper, he came to my house. There's millions of people in the city. He could have gone to everyone else, and he came to visit me. That itself is something to be proud of, and something to be happy, and something to be excited about. The king came to visit me personally, to come to my house. It's unbelievable. He didn't come to everybody else's house. He came to me. So that's the difference in the two paupers. One pauper just looks at the richness, which is definitely something amazing, but compared to all the riches that he has, it's just a small amount. So the other pauper sees the bigger picture and enjoys the fact that the king comes to visit him. So the Kedushat Levi brings down, he says, so too in our everyday lives, every single day. He says, we have miracles. God performs miracles. So there's really two ways to approach the miracles. Let's say a miracle happens to us. Now we have miracles that happen to us every single day. Let's say something unusual happens to us one day. We say, wow, that's really an unbelievable miracle. So the first approach, like the first pauper, is we could say, you know what? God made a great miracle, and this is really something that's unbelievable, it's unreal, it's so grand, it's so great. But he says the second person, similar to the second pauper, says, God performs miracles every day, millions of miracles every day. One miracle, that has nothing to do with the greatness of God. I know that God is much greater than this. I know that it's just a little speck, just like a small part of the wealth, a small part of God's greatness. What's amazing is that the miracle is performed for me, for my family, in my house, in my neighborhood. And I was the direct beneficiary of the miracle. That's unbelievable. See, so that's the reason with the lights. Says the difference between the machloket that we say one opinion says we could benefit from the lights, and one opinion says we can't benefit from the lights. It depends how you approach it. According to the Man D'Amar, according to the opinion that says we can benefit. So the approach is, I get to light Hanukkah candles in my house, and I get to have light. And let me benefit from the gashmiut, from the physical aspect of the light. And that'll be my enjoying Hanukkah. So it's nice. It's a nice thing to enjoy some candles that you can light in your house. And obviously these candles are a little more meaningful than regular everyday candles. But on the other hand, the other Manda Amar, the other opinion says, no, don't benefit from the lights. Because the lights are just a way to commemorate a greater miracle that happened. The miracle that happened to Klal Yisrael, a miracle that happened to the Jewish nation many years back. And a way to remember that God is always creating miracles for us on a daily basis. And it's a way to just, it's a significance. We're lighting candles to remember. But really, it's supposed to teach us a deeper meaning. This is just, the candles are just one little thing to help us remember that God creates bigger things all the time, bigger miracles all the time. That's the correct approach. And in the halacha we say that we're not supposed to derive direct benefit from the light. And the way the Kedushat Levi is learning is because of this reason. We're supposed to realize that the lights are there just to help us commemorate and remember that there was a great miracle. I want to share with you a story that I heard from Rabbi Ben Zion Schaefer from the Shmooz or the Shmooz.com. I don't know if you've heard of the Shmooz. So he said an incredible story on a recent shiur that he gave. What happened was, he said there's a book that came out, I'm sure it came out already a while ago, it came out after the Six-Day War, and it's called The Seventh Day. I don't know if any of you have heard the book, it's called The Seventh Day. So, what's the book about? So unfortunately, he brings down, is that several soldiers who were in the Six-Day War experienced incredible miracles that are not known to mankind, and they wrote their miracles down, they recounted them with all the details. Unfortunately, these soldiers don't believe in God, and they did not attribute the miracles to God. So he says one amazing story. He says there was a jeep with four soldiers, and the four soldiers accidentally veered off course. Now, obviously, it's hard to understand what that means. You know, I've never been to war. But they somehow veered off the battlefield by several miles. And they were out by the Sinai, in the Negev, or near the Sinai in the south, all by themselves, in the middle of the desert, without any, no tanks, no army, no backup. Four soldiers by themselves in a jeep. And finally realized, like, wait, where's the rest of the army? We veered off route. We have to get back. So before they have a chance to turn around, what happened was a few Syrian warplanes flew over their head. And all of a sudden, they saw those Syrian warplanes, they realized that that's it. Their time has come, and they're going to get shot down. So lo and behold, the warplanes turned around, and they flew as low as they wanted. They were in the middle of the desert. There's literally no anti-aircraft missiles, nothing. So the warplanes knew they could fly as low as they want and just start shooting at them, literally target practice, in the open. So these soldiers, when they saw this happening, they saw this developing, they basically all lay down on the ground, and four of them lay down in four separate corners, and they say, you know, we're ready to die. So the warplanes flew over them, started shooting, and, you know, shooting with whatever machine guns they have, and miraculously none of them got hit. And they said, and, you know, Rabbi Zion Schaefer says that they recounted how one of the soldiers felt the dust, felt the sand, like, flying into his face from the bullets hitting the sand. And somehow they didn't get hit, they didn't get touched. So they were very happy, they got up, they were happy, they were rejoicing. But as the planes flew off, they realized that they missed their target. So the planes turned around, and they came back. The same thing happened all over again, the second time. And the planes started shooting at them. And they didn't get touched. And then a third time, and then a fourth time. And nothing happened, they didn't get killed. They couldn't figure out, the soul, whatever it was, they couldn't get killed. So finally, the planes, there's a type of bomb called a napalm bomb, which is basically like a flame bomb, and it just burns everything under the plane. So they dropped a napalm bomb on the jeep and on the soldiers, and they said they felt immense heat, but nothing happened. They didn't get killed. So they came back home, they rejoiced, they celebrated, they were happy. But at the end of the story, they write, and what do we attribute this to? Sheer luck. We were lucky. We were lucky that day. We came out, somehow we didn't get killed. So Brazil Shaver is saying, you guys have lived an open miracle. It wasn't like you were the family members or the children or the friends of someone who experienced a miracle. You experienced a miracle. You were shot at. You were supposed to be dead 10 times over. But somehow, unfortunately, they missed the boat. They missed to realize that it was a miracle from God. So with the Yom Tov HaChanukah, I want to end off that we should be zochet not only experience miracles on a daily basis, we should have our eyes open and see all the miracles that Hashem performs for us, and we should look at the global world. Is that good? Any questions?